This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, who has strong words for the Federal Reserve after both the Silicon Valley Bank failure and another hike in interest rates this week. We caught up with the senator just this morning, and I started with a yes or no question. Is the U.S. banking system sound and resilient, as the Fed has said?
Oh, can I do hope so?
Yeah, you can.
Look, it's clear that the Treasury and the Fed have taken extraordinary steps to strengthen the banking system and to reassure depositors that they're not going to lose any money. But remember the problem that brought us here, and that is weakening the oversight of these multi-billion dollar banks. And it's going to take a little while to turn around and go back and really put these banks through the tough paces of what happens if this happens. You know, that's what stress tests are about. What are their capital reserves look like? And so on, so that we are sure that we really do have a strong and resilient system. This is part of the reason that I, along with some other senators, are calling on the Fed right now to tighten down on the regulations that they spent the last 5 years loosening, and to go back and do tough supervision over these banks. That's the best way to make sure that they are safe. Now, Congress still has a job to do here as well to tighten up the regulations, but the Fed could act literally today.
All right. So part of the reference there is to the rollback of Dodd-Frank in 2018. And I've also noticed, you know, a lot of comments from you this week that even after that rollback, you feel the Fed had autonomy. Jerome Powell had autonomy to do some regulatory things that he chose not to do, sort of saying, hey, that rollback says I have to loosen things. You have fundamentally disagreed with that. Is that correct?
Yes. So think of it this way. If I can, I'll do it fast, a little bit longer history here in the run-up. After the crash, we put Dodd-Frank in place, said all of the big banks, that is those over $50 billion, are going to be under tighter regulations, because if one of them fails, they put everybody at risk and force the government to come in and start talking about rescue. So those big banks didn't like that. And it came to Congress. They started lobbying. Donald Trump ran for president saying, I'll weaken the regulations on those multi-billion dollar banks. He got elected. He put in regulators that in many ways were anti-regulators. Then he went to Congress in 2018 and he said, I want you by statute to weaken the regulations and open the door for lighter regulations. That's what happened. Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, said, I'm going to take that authority and I'm going to weaken the regulations even more. He literally weakened dozens of regulations. And I, of course, at the time was saying, no, 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 no. And I said, what will happen is you weaken across the board like that, the banks will load up on risk, boost their short-term profits, and then some of them are going to explode.
And that brings us
what we've seen happen.
That brings us to Silicon Valley Bank. And I want to note, and you have noted this, you noted the Trump administration, you noted Jerome Powell, but you've also noted that both Democrats and Republicans in Congress in 2018 participated in this rollback of Dodd-Frank. I'm going to bring us now, that history is helpful for the context, because I'm going to bring us to Wednesday of this week now, and the Fed's decision to raise interest rates by another 0.25%. NPR, and they've said they're doing that to try to lower inflation. NPR's reporting inflation's now at 6%, down roughly from 9% last June, still above the Fed's target of 2%. I want to play you a little sound from Raphael Bostic, who is the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta head. He was with Steve Inskeep on Morning Edition this morning. Here he is.
We have to get inflation under control and back down to our target. We are going to have to see demand come down. Inflation is high because there's more demand than supply. And one of the ways that you're going to see that demand come down is by seeing the economy slow down.
Okay, so two questions. First, I'm struck by the fact that you have said that the Fed is overly focused on using interest rates as the way to bring inflation down. Can you explain that?
Sure. There are a lot of things that can cause prices to go up. And right now, we know three things that are particularly boosting prices. One is price gouging. In all of the industries where there's a lot of concentration, meaning there are just, you know, one or two giant companies, profit margins have gone up and prices have gone through the roof.
Can you give an example of that, like a particular kind of company or product?
So, for example, we've seen it in shipping, in transport, that prices are way up, and then that gets reflected in prices everywhere. Small businesses can't do anything about it if their shipping costs go up, because it means the prices of what they buy and what they send out have to go up. So one is price gouging. Two is supply chain kinks. We're still having trouble with that. And three, of course, the war in Ukraine, which has an impact both on food prices worldwide and on energy prices. So those are things. I've actually asked Jerome Powell about this in hearings. Does raising interest rates help bring down the cost of any of those? And the answer is, he said, no, it doesn't.
So are you saying that interest rates are not also a part of this equation? You said three things, and interest rates wasn't on that list.
I said, that's right. Those are three things that are helping push prices up. Now, what the Fed is doing under Jerome Powell is they're saying, we're going to raise interest rates. And you notice the language that Mr. Bostic used. He said, what's going to happen is we're going to try to reduce demand, which is economists speak for, we're going to try to get a lot of people laid off. That is, businesses to cut back on the number of people they employ, because if people are laid off, they won't get out there and buy as much stuff.
And so you are arguing that this is a direct attempt at job loss, creation of job loss.
I don't have to argue it. That is actually what the Fed itself says in its own reports. The Fed says their target, listen to that word, target, is to increase unemployment by one full point over the next year. That's 2 million jobs. I know it's 2 million jobs. That's just plain old arithmetic. And here's the really scary part about that. Out of the last 12 times, the 12 times in modern history where unemployment has gone up by a full point in a calendar year, the country has gone into a recession. And here's, just as if that's not bad enough, in 11 of the 12 times when unemployment has increased by a full point in a year, it has then overshot the target. That is, you can't stop at a full point. Once an economy starts shedding jobs, it sheds more and more jobs. So I asked Chair Powell about this when he was in front of the Senate Finance Committee. What's your plan if you get the 2 million people knocked out of work that you're trying to push out of work? How do you stop it at that point? And basically, the answer was, there is no plan for that. So this is why I don't think the Fed ought to be raising interest rates at such an extreme rate. We have not seen hikes at this speed before in our economy in recent years.
So let's pivot now. And you've been very clear that you believe Jerome Powell should not be the chair of the Federal Reserve. I want to pivot to the price strains, right? So Boston Herald has an article this morning about the rising level of food insecurity, has an employee of the Salvation Army saying, I can't go buy eggs anymore. And so 6% is a lot higher than 2%. What's the path that in the next, you know, 6 months, we get from 6% to 2%, given the complexity of what you're saying is putting pressure on prices?
So I see this as, you got to attack this problem on all fronts. Let's start with the price gouging. Congresswoman Katie Porter and I have really been on top of the egg industry and really pushing them hard about, why have you guys increased prices like this? It's not because your costs have gone up.
I thought it was bird flu. Honestly, I thought it was bird flu.
Well, there was a period of time when they said we had to kill off some of our birds and we have lower supply. I get it. The supply and demand work. But part of what we also are watching in different places is that a concentration in the industry means that it's the manufacturers, it's the dominant company that is sucking up more and more profits. And by the way, the reason I know this is twofold. One is just look at the profitability reports over the last year from these big companies, and it correlates. Where there's less competition, the profits went up faster. But the second reason I know this is that the CEOs in these companies actually brag on their earnings calls that inflation is turning out to be great for them.
So,
because it means they can raise prices not just to cover the rise in expenses, they can raise it more than that, and everybody shrugs and says, in effect, what are you going to do? That's inflation. So what I'm trying to say is there are multiple problems here, and we need to think of it as approaching it with multiple solutions. We cannot say that because the Fed has a hammer, that everything will yield like a nail.
So last question, Senator, and I'm mindful that your team has told us you're on a limited time schedule. So last question to you. Can that be done within a reasonable time frame? 6 months, full court press? I made up the 6 months, but people are looking for relief.
Right. I think it can be, as long as we're pushing on all fronts. And sure, the Fed is part of the solution, but so is the Federal Trade Commission. So are state attorneys general. So is the president using his bully pulpit. All of the above. After all, we've taken inflation, as you started out, from 9% down to 6%. It's headed in the right direction. We just need to give it a stronger push and get it down faster.
All right. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, always great to have you. I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.